Hello and welcome to the exciting 50th edition of Going Native. My name is Steve Carroll. I'm the dev manager for the C++ team. Today we're here to talk about the new optimizer that's coming in update 3 of Visual Studio 2015. So this will be an episode where we not only talk about kind of like a new feature, but we can also take you kind of under the hoods to give you a little bit of information about like how the compiler actually works, and we'll kind of drill into that today. All right, so today I'd like to introduce Gratian Loop.
Hi, my name is Gratian Loop, and I'm a developer on the C++ optimizer. I've been at Microsoft for about 2 years. I worked mostly on new optimizations in the Visual C++ compiler.
So what do you, today I think you're here to talk to us about the new optimizer that you helped write for the optimizer in the Visual C++ compiler. Tell me a little bit about it.
Yes, it's a new advanced and aggressive code optimizer that we worked on for about a year. We finally released it as a NuGet package. It has the potential to improve your application's performance and code size quite substantially.
So what's new about it? And how old is the old code that it's replacing?
Okay, so it replaces something known as the expression optimizer. And that one is more or less from 95, 96.
Great.
So it's one of the oldest components of the Visual C++ backend. So we wanted to have better optimizations for many cases, and it proved to be quite difficult to improve the old optimizer without doing a complete rewrite using newer compiler technologies. And we basically did just that. So the new optimizer, it's a rewrite and actually more than it, because it can also be viewed as a new framework, which allows us to work in at a much faster speed to make prototypes, to
sort of test out new optimizations.
Exactly, to test optimizations, to implement them easier, safer, less potential for mistakes. It's easier to test them. So there was a lot of work.
And 20 years worth of compiler technology to kind of.
Yes.
Yeah, got it. Great. All right, so I think that your new optimizer is based around something called the SSA form, right? Do you want to talk a little bit about what that is?
Okay, so the SSA form is a newer intermediate representation for compilers.
Which stands for?
Static single assignment. The basic idea of it is that every assignment to a variable happens only once. So for every assignment to the same variable, you actually create a new variable to ensure that you have a single one.
And we'll show an example of that.
We will show an example. Anyway, the advantage is the fact that you can always track from a variable to the instruction that actually defines it. That's one of the more complicated parts in developing compilers.
And so it simplifies the ability to write the optimization?
It simplifies the ability to go from a variable to whatever instructions might define it. That's something you always have to do to ensure correctness of the optimization you are doing.
Got it.
And yes, SSA simplifies working with this. It also makes it simpler for the compiler developer to write the code. And usually, algorithms written using SSA are also faster. So it's going to be also an advantage for throughput, especially in the future when we want to disable some of the old optimizations and replace them with new ones. But that it's going to take some time.
But basically, you have a sort of compile budget that you can spend more efficiently now that you have this representation to make.
So for now, it's mostly about making some things faster so that we can introduce more optimizations.
Got it. All right. Why don't we jump into the example so that we can give people a concrete sense.
Building SSA can be a bit complicated, but I have here an example that I believe it's quite simple enough to get a feeling about how SSA works and why it's actually so useful. So in this example, we have a function that gets two parameters based on the value of a, if it's greater or less than 3. The other variables, local variables in the function, get assigned different constant values, or in the case of z, certain bits are masked from the b parameter. Then some computations are done with both x, y, and z. And then the results are tested. And with the old expression optimizer, this function on x64 would be compiled to about 18, 20 instructions. With the new one, it's actually compiled to the equivalent of return one, like one, two instructions.
So it's a little bit faster.
Yes. So it discovers all the opportunities that are here available, things that the old optimizer couldn't even see. So like I said, in SSA, each variable has to be defined a single time. Since X, Y, and Z are assigned multiple times, we are going to give them version numbers. So inside the compiler, they are just treated like completely different variables. So we usually we add a subscript to them.
So one, two, oh, those are all ones. I see.
Okay, yeah, it's, yes. Versions.
Right.
Version two of it. Now, one thing that gets complicated is at this point where after the if-else statement. So which value does the x variable have? At compile time, it's impossible to tell because it depends on
the runtime value of
A, how it branches at that point. So SSA solved this problem by introducing a new virtual instruction called phi. It's an instruction that actually doesn't exist on any processor. It's used just for compilation, and at the end, it's removed.
This is the Greek letter phi, basically.
Yes.
Right.
The phi basically has the meaning of merging all the possible values a variable can have. So in this case, it creates yet another version of the variable x. For example, x3 equals phi of merging x1 and x2. And the same, it's done later for y3. And for Z3.
Got it.
Okay. So SSA at the same time builds some data structure that are actually really useful. For example, there is something called definition use list that links every definition of a variable to the place it is used, like this. So you know exactly all the places in the function where that variable may be used. So once you, for example, optimize a function, you do some constant folding,
right,
you can very easily just replace that variable with a constant everywhere in the function without doing any kind of expensive analysis that's usually required with non-SSA optimizations.
Because you've got that sort of linkage, that data structure,
exactly,
structure thing.
And then from each definition, from each use, you get back a link to the actual definition. So this way you are able to trace back in the program and to see what the expression actually is by expanding the operands.
Got it.
So
you need to subscript the uses later in the function,
okay,
too, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah.
So those are also get a new version.
The X's and Y's, I meant.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Yes. So the new optimizer is able to take advantage about this ability to trace back to the defining expression instruction to build much larger expression that the other optimizer was capable. So the other optimizer here, it would just stop at this point. It wouldn't expand the X3 expression to something more, so it wouldn't see that it's actually a combination, it can only be one of two possible constants. So the new optimizer in this place is going to compute every possible combination of X and Y by considering X1, X2, Y1, Y2. Multiply that value with 4 and see that it's actually in the range 16. I mean, the minimum value of the range is going to be 16. So this entire comparison can be just replaced by true 1.
I see.
Then there is a new optimization.
So it's literally computing all possible combinations.
Yes, it's computing all possible combinations by tracing back through this phi operation to the actual sources of the variable. Then, in this case, it's using a new, quite powerful static analysis called the bit estimator. So it's an analysis that it's able to identify which bits in a variable are guaranteed at compile time to be either one or zero. Actually, it does a lot more. It also estimates the ranges of values, values that can never be zero. It can help finding positive values, values that are bool, just one or zero. But in this case, it's going to prove that the low 8 bits of Z, it's actually zero all the time, because here the bits are masked. Here there is a light shift that introduces 8 zero bits. Then it doesn't matter which of Z1 or Z2 is selected at runtime, the low 8 bits are always going to be zero. So again, in this case, it's going to replace by true.
Now we can.
And everything gets transformed in return one, return two.
Nice.
So.
And that's how we do it. All right.
Yes.
Cool.
So this is the basic of SSA, like the main idea.
Great.
And how it's useful.
Do you have any other examples of sort of like cool optimizations that you can
okay,
do
so
now that you
a lot
this?
Of focus was put on optimizations that previously weren't optimized that well. For example, division, reminder, some patterns with shift, right, left shift, right shift, some binary operations. We had some of them as part of the really late optimizer phases, which deal already with code that's at assembly level, like it's specific to x86 assembly or an ARM assembly. So each of these targets had a set of those patterns that could be used, but by
putting them in this framework is
but
the
putting,
idea.
Putting it in this framework makes them available for all of them. Plus, it
generalizes.
Yes, it generalizes, and plus it's a lot easier to write them. So we developed a system to do pattern matching of expressions. You write code almost as you would write a mathematical expression, and it's also very fast. It's based on template metaprogramming.
Okay, cool.
And using that system, it was really easy to add at least 200 of such patterns. And that system was also extended recently to handle vector code. So we previously didn't optimize vector operations that well. We can do a much better job. And we are going to be able to optimize either intrinsics from the source code or code generated by the autovectorizer much better in the future. But this is still a work in progress.
And I think you guys did a bunch of things with conditional moves that were pretty fruitful, right?
Yes. So conditional moves were already generated by the optimizer, but again, it was really late in the pipeline of optimizations. And one advantage of generating them earlier is the fact that you are able then to use certain patterns and sometimes completely eliminate a conditional move.
All right, so why don't you give us an example?
Okay, so an example with a pattern that can be simplified if C move is generated before is the following one, which can be found quite often, actually. So, for example, if A is smaller than zero, then ternary question operator is inserted that selects either between 1 and 0. So it's an instruction we have at the intermediate representation level that is very similar to the one in C++ selects 1 if the condition is true or 0 if it's false. Okay. Well, we can take advantage of some bit level tricks here to actually convert this instruction that would be converted to 3 or 4 x86 instructions to a single right shift like this. So it basically brings the sign bit into the zero bit position. So if the number is negative, the sign bit is going to be one. By doing a logical shift with 31 position, that sign bit is going to be at the first
index. Oh, I see. Shifted over 31 points.
Yes. So you get exactly the result you expect. It also supports several variations of it. Like if you select between 4 and 0, it's also going to do a multiplication by 2 or things like that. So there are actually the heuristic that's used to decide when to actually do this conditional move conversion is tuned to do it when more such cases are exposed.
Great.
And also it can handle profile information. So
generating the Pogo sense?
Yes, the Pogo sense. So generating C moves, usually it's faster. Almost all the time it generates smaller code, but there are cases where actually it's faster to have branches on CPUs with really, really good branch prediction. So if profile information is available and it proves that a branch is actually really biased to be taken or not taken, like 99% of the cases, in that case, it's not going to generate a C move because the CPU is going to do the
branch will be right.
Perfect branch prediction in that case.
Okay, cool. Let's talk about how we tested this. So you took something that had 20 years of testing and replaced it with something in a year. So
yeah,
how did we make sure that it was fine?
I'm proud to say it's one of the most well-tested components in the entire compiler. So we were able to use some tools that were used before, mostly by the LLVM community. There are some open source tools that provide static analysis. For example, one of them is Alive. It's a tool which was used to test almost every pattern that was implemented, or better said, every non-trivial pattern. It uses the Z3 formal verification tool for Microsoft Research to prove that an input expression is equivalent to an output expression. So basically, the expression we want to optimize to the optimized form. If there are any differences, then it's going to give a really nice counterexamples with values that are able to prove the pattern is not valid. And
like if you miss something like an overflow condition or
exactly overflow conditions, preconditions, or trying to apply a pattern that it's supposed to be used only with unsigned values for signed values.
I see.
It's usually dangerous with division, right shift, compares. So all those operations that are sensitive on the value being signed or unsigned.
Got it.
So we are pretty sure it prevented quite a lot of bugs. Then another interesting tool that we used is called SysMid. It's a program that generates random C programs. They are usually really huge and with super ugly code. And we generated more than 50 million of them. And
50 million?
Yes.
Wow.
It took a few weeks to run them. And we tested if the new optimizer introduces any new failures. And it discovered bugs in the new optimizer. It discovered bugs in some other components. Some of the bugs were maybe 15 years old. And we fixed all of them. And probably the last interesting tool, it's called ApetiFuzz. Here we took advantage of the Clang C2 project.
Clang C2.
Yeah, Clang C2 project. It's a small LLVM plugin that it's able to generate every possible instruction. Every possible expression with n instructions and a limited set of constants. For example, for expressions with three constants and about 15 constants, it generated around 250 million tests. Yeah, it took several weeks, multiple powerful servers to run all the tests, but it did discover some very subtle bugs related to differences between signed and unsigned computations.
Awesome.
And combining them in the same expression. So
was that optimization fuzzer, was that part of the LLVM project? Is that?
It's not really part.
Okay.
No, it's written by John Rieger, a professor at the University of Utah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, he's also a co-author of SysMid and some of the other tools.
And then presumably we used our usual gigantic harness of Microsoft tech.
Yeah, of course. I mean, our biggest test is Windows. Then we also did extra testing with some popular open source programs such as Chrome, Firefox, CoreCLR, Chakra. Quite a lot of testing is done usually daily.
Okay, great. So, I mean, I think our call to action on this is going to be to go off and we have the NuGet package available. That's our new way of actually grabbing the equivalent of our nightly builds.
A lot more information about the optimizer is available on the Visual C++ blog, where I wrote a post. There is also info about how to install the NuGet package, how to report bugs in case you find something.
So we ran a couple hundred million, things, but we'd really like you to run it on your couple hundred million of applications out into the world. Let's talk a little bit about what sort of results you got out of this.
Okay, so there are some pretty important results. for example, in spec and spec to KSIC, which are quite popular benchmarks used with compilers. You got, for example, a 12% increase in spec to K6, opnet, pp, 6% in libquantum.
Compared to what?
Compared to not using the optimizer.
So it's like update 3's
versus
early
update
version
two.
Versus update 2 with and
something
without
like
the
that. Yes.
Optimizer. Do you need to do anything to turn on the optimizer in the pre-release builds, or is it just it's in anything after update 2, which is the RTM version?
No, so in the pre-release builds, it's already turned on by default. Actually, there is a flag to turn it off in case you suspect it causes a bug in your tests. So you can validate if it's actually a bug caused by the new optimizer. And if it is, we would be glad to get a bug report.
Okay. And we'll make sure that we have info on that in the thing.
Okay, so besides performance improvements, there are also improvements in code size. Actually, the main point
really does turn into runtime in and of itself, right?
Yes, sometimes. If the code is more compact, it can fit better into L1 cache. So yes, it can affect performance. So most applications probably should expect to see a small decrease in code size, some more. It depends a lot on the type of code, even if it's C or C++. And it's also like an interaction with other optimizations, for example. Since the function becomes smaller, they can get in line in more places. So overall code size increases. But overall, in applications we tested, we did see an increase in code size.
Do you have any examples?
For example, in Windows x64, we see about 500 kilobytes reduction in code size. In SQL Server, about 45. And in Chakra, kilobytes. And in Chakra, around 10.
Great.
So all while probably improving performance.
Great. And again, just to be totally clear, because Gretzen here is very modest, but the idea here is you recompile and you get free wins in code size, and that's the benefit, and as well as hopefully better optimized code. Just for recompiling with update.
And still, there is a lot more work that has to be done. So this is a pre-release version. There are still things that have to be improved, benchmarks that we still have to analyze. And
we have not yet begun to fight.
Exactly. Yes. There are still many small improvements that have to be done even before update 3. And then, like I said, after update 3, we are going to do even more impressive compiler optimizer work.
Great.
Using this new framework.
Okay, so just to recap, we would love you to take this stuff and run it through its paces. We'd love to know what kinds of improvements you're seeing, and certainly if you're seeing anything other than improvements, we'd love to see that as well. We'd love to know about any bugs that you find, and just thanks in advance for all that. All right, that's it for this month.